Praise the name of Jesus. How are we this morning? I just want to continue on the theme that we have been looking at, and that is looking at our values, our heart. The acronym is HEART, which is H-E-A-R-T. That's the acronym. But they are the values that underpin who we are, what we are, and how we do. They are the values, who we are, what we are, and how we do. They're termed as values. That is how we operate. That's who we are. And once we establish ourselves with sound values and with the foundation of every one of us here focusing on a spirit of excellence, a spirit of honor, something happens in this house. There is a connection. There's a unity. There is a oneness. And we know that when there's a unity and a oneness, God blesses it. Amen? Where there's disharmony and discord, God can't do much in that place. But where there's unity, we know from the Psalms, God commands blessing. Amen? And who wants blessing this morning? Every one of us wants blessing this morning, including myself. We all want to be blessed by the Lord this morning. And that's why I'm going through this series, because when we come to a place of understanding the values of the church, the values of what we subscribe to and believe in, I believe that it'll become easier for us to operate as one house, as one body. Is that okay? So, I spoke to you about honor. I spoke to you about excellence. Yes, thank you. Excellence. And today I'm going to talk about advancement. Advancement. That's our third value. And so what does honor mean? It means to honor God. It means to honor ourselves, to honor one another, to honor neighbors in our society. And what does honor actually mean? To put weight behind something. Amen? To put weight behind something. That's honoring. We also did excellence as something that underpins, as I said earlier, who we are, what we are, and how we do things. In fact, excellence underpins everything that we do. When we have an excellent spirit that helps, an excellent attitude, it really helps us function to the maximum that we can. Amen. So what is advancement, you might ask? What is advancement? We kind of know the word advancement. It's something to do with movement, correct? It's something to do with progression or progressiveness. It's something to do with momentum. And it's all about making progress, advancement in our lives. It also making advancement in our relationships as well. You know, we advance as a married couple. We are not the same as we did 31 years ago. We have moved on. We have advanced. We have matured. We know each other much better than we did 31 years ago. And so there's advancement. There's movement in relationships. There's movement in our places of work as well. How many know you don't stay in one job? Those days are gone where you stayed in one job. For a few years ago, you stayed in one job till you retired. And now it's kind of, there's a movement, there's a momentum. People want to try different things. And so there's advancement in jobs. And also there's advancement in the church. There's advancement in ministry. And we don't stay or stagnate in one place. We move on. We advance. We want to explore and find out and experience newer things in God, because God has better things for us. Amen? God's dish is never stale. It's never, filled with worms. It's never rotten. It's always fresh. God gives us new manna every day. Yesterday's manna ain't good for today. How many know that? If the children of Israel, they tried to keep manna, it went bad, correct? They tried to store it for next day, it went bad. Why? Because God is in the business of refreshing us every day. And every time we come into the house of God, that's why I love to come into church. I love to come in and meet with God's people, because I get refreshed every time I'm here. I get excited every time I'm here. And so advancement is all about movement in every sphere or area of our lives. If we look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, Moses now has died. Moses was leading the children of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He was now coming towards the Jordan. Moses was leading those people diligently, although albeit they were disobedient. They were a disobedient bunch of people. And so God had to sort of deal with the older generation, and they had to pass away before the second generation, the up-and-coming generation, were ready to take the promised land. It was not Moses' time, it was Joshua's time. So Moses had died, and God comes and he speaks to Joshua, and he encourages Joshua with this scripture. You can see it in Joshua 1 and verse 3. And he tells Joshua, who is the assistant of Moses, he says this: every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. What an amazing promise. Wouldn't you like to hear a promise like that? It's about taking territory. I just say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that New Malden, everywhere my foot, my soul goes, you know, my feet go, Lord, we are taking this ground. We're taking this territory. We're taking this place for Jesus. Amen. And so that's what God told Joshua. He said, every place that your soul, the sole of your foot, will tread upon, I will give you. Amazing promise that God gives Joshua as he takes leadership of the children of Israel. And God is promising victory already. He's promising victory in taking territory that is in front of him. Now, he doesn't know what the terrain looks like, but God is promising him victory. And sometimes it happens in our lives. We do not know what the terrain will look like, but God nevertheless promises us a victory. He says, come on, you go in my name and I will be with you. And so Joshua had to take, he had the victory, he had the promise, he knew God had promised him, but he had to do something about the promises that God made. And so he had to take a step of faith. He had to step out of where he was. And if you read that account of Joshua chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, you will read the account of where he had to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan was flooded, but he had to cross the Jordan in order to get over onto the other side to get to the promised land. And so Joshua had to do something about the promise that he received from God. God was saying, the territory in front of you is already yours. However, you still have to take steps to go in and possess that territory. And you have to advance, take some steps to see it through. And I believe that even in our lives, God, when he promises us something, when he gives us a prophetic word, it is upon us to take that step of faith and say, God, I'm going to do something here that's going out of the ordinary so that you can come and do what you have to do in my life. Often it's a step of faith that we have to take. And you know, life gives us opportunities. Doesn't life give you opportunities? Life always gives you opportunities, but you have a choice to grab a hold of those opportunities or not. Thank God that Joshua grabbed a hold of the opportunities God gave him. And he didn't look at the vast number of people that he had to lead. He looked at God who gave him a promise. And sometimes when we are journeying with Jesus, we cannot look at the crowds that are the problems and the situations around us. We've got to look at Jesus who gave us a promise and said, you go and I'll be with you wherever you go. Amen. In order to advance, we've got to grab a hold of the opportunities that we get. Imagine a life where we don't grab opportunities. You'll never get anywhere, would you? You'll just stay where you are. And nobody wants to stay stagnant, do they? We want to grab an opportunity and move forward. And that's advancing in our own lives. And not only in our own lives, but in relationships as well. You know, when God gives you an opportunity for a relationship, you got to grab it. Because relationships don't just fall on your lap. You've got to sometimes go after it. You've got to pursue some relationships. How about ministry as well? You've got to pursue ministry. It's not going to fall on your lap. God gives you a mandate. God gives you vision. You've got to then take it and you've got to do something with it. It's not going to just automatically unfold. You've got to take some steps of faith. Why? Because God wants to see that you're willing to trust him in everything that you do. Because if everything came to your lap, why would you need anything? Why would you need faith? Why would you need trusting in the Lord? Why would you need to pursue Jesus? You wouldn't, because you can just sit back and everything falls. But that doesn't happen in the kingdom of God, because God doesn't want lazy people. He wants people who are on the move. And that's how he looked at the nomadic culture. That's the children of Israel were that sort of a tribe, a people who were always progressing. They were always pitching their tents. When God said move, they moved. They never stayed put in one place. And so our lives are a bit like that. We are on a journey and we never stay put in one place. We are always moving from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. Hallelujah. Advancement is a bit like a child, a baby growing up. And we all know that we don't want a baby to stay a baby. We want that baby to grow. We want that baby to mature. We want that baby to learn. We want the baby to be somebody else, become somebody else. Advancement is a bit like that. And we are always growing. We are always advancing through whatever experience that we encounter. We are always maturing, if not otherwise, at least in age. You can't stunt your age. You will mature at least in age, if not in any other area of life. We don't stay babies all our lives. We mature, we grow. There is a progression. It's natural. An advancement, even in the spiritual, is like that. There's an advancement in the spiritual as well. So I just want us to focus on a few things that we can move forward from where we are. Sometimes, in order to move forward, we may have to cut off some things that have latched on to us, that has held on to us. And I believe that moving forward sometimes is prevented because of the latching on to the stuff that holds us back. We got to cut off a few things in our lives in order to move forward. Sometimes we have got to change in some things, the way we do things, in order to move forward. One of the changes we've made is we moved from 27 Seaforth Avenue, we moved here. That was a change. It was a big change. We are now in that change. And who knows where God will take us next. But I just believe that God's brought us here for a purpose, and God wants to fill this house. And once we are 3/4 full here, God might say, right, it's time to move on again. Because God is always progressive. He's always on the move. And the question that we can ask ourselves, in order for our progression, how much did we change? What changed in our lives? What did we have to change in our lives? Because I'm sure that each and every one of us had to do something in order to get to where we are today. I don't think any one of us here sitting here suddenly came out being, wow, look at where I am. It just happened. You know, I was sitting one day and, wow, you know, it just happened. It doesn't happen like that, does it? We have need to prioritize. How many of us have prioritized things? Because let's imagine you're doing so many things. When you do so many things, you don't do anything. They say little is much or less is much. If you get involved in a whole heap of things, you get nothing much done. And so in order to get something done, what do? We prioritize, don't we? We say, right, this is important. I will work with this and make sure it's done. Then I'll focus on the second priority. And so we prioritize. And I'm sure that in our lives, in our journey in lives, you and I, we would have prioritized certain things that we have put in our focus in order to get to where we are today. So the question that we got to ask ourselves is this. Where have I got stuck? Where have I got stuck? It's as if it were in a rut. Why haven't I moved or advanced? Why haven't I moved forward? What do I need to do to make that shift to move forward? Because we always have a choice. Now, if you go on a road with a lot of ruts, how many know it's very comfortable and nice? No, it's not. Nobody likes a road full of ruts because it's so uncomfortable. And I believe that sometimes we get stuck in our lives, and that happens because we are human. We get into a rut and we get stuck. And things get difficult, and we feel as if the whole world is on us. And the question to ask ourselves is, right, I'm in a rut, but do I want to stay in the rut, or do I want to move out or get out of it? Because the getting out of it comes from us making a decisive or a decision in our own eyes, right, I'm not staying here anymore, I'm moving out, I'm getting out of my situation. Because you can choose to be in it or you can choose to get out of it. That choice is down to us. And we got to make it. We got to decide to do it. God will help us, but we got to make that first step. Say, right, I'm going to get out of this place. So for Joshua to move forward, he had to take some steps of faith. He had to. And God told Joshua three times. He said, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Now, they are amazing words. They are strong, powerful words that God gives to Joshua. But if he stood there on this side of the bank and he only received that word and did nothing, he would never have seen the courage. He would never have seen the boldness. He would have never stepped into the promised land. He would never have slaughtered those giants. See, just getting a word from the Lord is not enough. God says, you are strong, you are mighty, you are powerful. God says, I put my authority and power in you. The question is, okay, what are we doing with the authority and the power that God's given us? Are we exercising it by faith in our lives? And I believe that the more we exercise as we do a muscle, the more we build, the more people are blessed. And I just think that as much as God gave Joshua the promise, Joshua had to move out in faith. He had to take that step of faith into the Jordan. And you know, if you read that scripture, I think it's in Joshua chapter 3. God tells Joshua to send the priests, the Levites, the priests in first. And it says in the word, the moment their foot touched the waters parted. Hallelujah. The Levites had to do something. Joshua had to motivate and tell the Levites, step into that water. Because we're going to the other side. And sometimes you and I have to step into that water of the Jordan. And the Jordan can be whatever that you're facing right now. You might have to just face some things in life and say, right, I'm going to face this, demon. Yes, let's call it demon. I'm going to face this situation. I'm going to face this fear that's in my life. The fear of, it could be something like even a simple thing like the fear to commit to something. I met someone very, very recently. And he said to me, I know God's call on my life. I know God's called me for leadership. I know that, you know, God wants me to do so much, for his kingdom. I know it. But because I've been hurt in the past, you know, I'm afraid to commit anymore because I'm afraid of being hurt again. And you can see how fear of being hurt can grip somebody to the point of not being willing to step out in faith. And so I had to just very simply and plainly say, look, you have to get over that fear. Because unless and until you step by faith, you're never going to move forward. You're going to live in the land of frustration always. And that's a terrible place to be. And for some of us, it could be that. Afraid to commit. Afraid to say yes to something. But I just believe that the moment we say yes, God will sort the rest. See, God's waiting to see, in the midst of all that you are doing, are you willing to say yes to me? Or are you waiting till all these things settle down first, sort themselves out, and then come and say, Lord, I'm now ready to serve you. God says, no, you're not ready. Because you always operate by faith. That is how it's done. It never is outside of faith. And so some of us here may be waiting for everything to fall in place. Let me get that. Let me get this. Let me get a job. Let me make sure that is there. Then I will come and I will serve and I will do whatever God calls me to do. But I'll tell you something. That's not the way God looks at it. He says, you come first. You follow me first. You put me first. Then I will sort everything out for you. And sometimes it could be that shift that we need in our lives. Sometimes to advance, it could be saying sorry to someone. It could be forgiving somebody, because unforgiveness is a terrible thing and it keeps us bound. It takes us down a terrible route, a road of bitterness. And it could be a simple thing like, I need to forgive this person. I can't hold a grudge anymore in order for you to advance and take the next step. It could be also functioning in a team. Why? Because in a team, and we have teams, right? We have loads of teams. You have the setup team. Within that, we have different other teams. Why? Because in a team, you learn to play the game. You can never play the game when you're a spectator. You can go to a football match, a rugby match, or whatever match. You can shout from that till you go hoarse. You can shout till you burst, whatever happens. But you can never get in on the game. It is only those who are on the field who are playing in the team and are playing the game. And I believe that something that we have to grasp here, maybe it could be functioning in a team. Why? Because God wants to show us something through working in teams. So it's not about myself. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about a team coming together to serve Him. It could be a simple thing like that. That's why we have teams. And I would encourage us, if you're not on a team, get yourself on a team. Because there is excitement in a team. And there's momentum in a team. Get into the action. Get into the arena. Get into where everything happens. Get playing and get out of the spectator mode. Get into the game. It could be something that we need to do in order to activate our faith. You know, we can know all the stories in the Bible. We can go to church. We can go to every prayer meeting. We can sing in the choir. We can do all of that. But sometimes, in order to move forward, we need to activate that measure of faith that God has put in us. What do I mean by that? I mean that we got to take God at His word, and we got to confront a situation and say, right, I'm going to put my faith out, and I'm going to work my faith here, and God is going to do a miracle. God's going to do something here. And it might just be that we have to order for us to move on, be activated in our faith. And sometimes I do that in my role as pastor. I do that from time to time, where I encourage people to step into different roles and functions. Why? Because I don't want to do it all, and I can't do it all. And so I want people to be involved in something that in the church. Why? To enable movement, to enable advancement. If I didn't want movement or advancement, I won't encourage anyone to do anything. But the reason I do that, the reason I throw out some challenges sometimes, and sometimes I motivate people, is because I want to see people take a step of faith and say, right, I may not be fully ready, but I know I'm partially ready, but God can use, God never uses the fully ready people. He says, wherever you come from, whatever stage you are at, if you're willing to hand that to me, I will bless it. That's the amazing thing about serving in the house of God, because, you know, when we commit and when we say, Lord, I'm willing, God then does the rest. That's why I do it, because I want to encourage people to try different things, to encounter a different experience in their journey with Jesus. Until you tried it, you would never know what could have been until you have tried it. And so I want people to have a go. At least say, right, I'm going to push myself out and I'm going to have a go. And I'm going to see if God's going to do something here. And that's the only way that you will know. That's how God works. When I came to this house, I just came to help this house. I just came in. I was invited. I think Bob invited me once to come and speak. I just spoke and God put something on my heart. I just wanted to help the church. And then it turned out to be God wanted me to lead the church. And that was a huge step of faith that I had to take. Why? Because we've already planted, we already plugged in. Our kids were already plugged in. Everything was going well. And then suddenly God says, okay, this is the house that you got to be in. And that was a huge step of faith. I only knew I had been called. I didn't know how the church was going to shape up. I didn't know who was going to be there. All those things were not given. It was just a simple thing of, here's a call on your life. Here's the place God's called you to. Now you go. And in obedience to that, God then blessed. So our family is blessed today because of the obedience that I had made to say, okay, God, you called me to this house. I don't know all the logistics here, but you know. But the obedient step has blessed our family. The obedient step has blessed this house. And so I just believe that God always, if it's from God, I can guarantee this. Everything that you do in movement, in advancement, will be by faith. If there is a certainty and a surety, you can question it. But if there isn't a certainty, you only know in your spirit, that this is where God wants me. And the next step is right by faith. I've got to step into it. Then you know that's God. Because it's always activated by faith. You never get the whole picture. It never happens. God gives you a glimpse and says, right, now go with this. So Joshua's first battle was Jericho. He had to go via Jericho to the promised land. Now Jericho was a fortified city, well fortified city. Joshua was a warrior. He'd been with Moses for years. He trained in the art of battle and war. He knew how to strategize for battle. But you know what he did? He had sought advice from God. He had to ask God for the next move. And so in that, he encounters a special person. And this special person was called the commander of the army of the Lord. And the commander of the army, Joshua asks, are you for us or are you against us? And then Joshua gets clear direction from the commander of the army of the Lord for specific directions. And I think sometimes in our journey in life, we may know the next step. It might be just a blur. But the only way you can confirm it is to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I can see this. Or it could be a crossroad. It could be a fork. You're deciding now, do I go there or do I go there? And you've got to ask the Holy Spirit and say, God, where do I go? What do I do now? And sometimes it takes that. Because if we take the direction that's not of God, it's not going to be blessed. We're going to struggle. But when we take the direction that God has given us, then we know there's a blessing in it. And we too need direction from God so that His plans can come to fruition. The plans for us were started, the prophecy came to us in 1981 or two, around that time, 83. Around 1983, that we'll be doing what we are doing right now. That's when it came. And praise God that God is always true to His word. And God will bring it to pass. The question we have to ask ourselves is, who are we inviting to speak into our lives? What voices are we listening to? There are many voices that we can listen to today. Whose voice are we entertaining in our lives? Thank God Joshua always heard the voice of God. He always obeyed the voice of God. Are we asking God, God, give me wisdom to make the right choices. God, give me those direction that I need in my life to move forward. And we all can recollect, can't we? Bad decisions. Where you went down a road that was terrible. So many challenges, so many problems. We all have gone through that. You know something? In Christ, it's never too late to get back to that road where God gives you direction, where you can seek the face of the Lord and say, God, direct me. I need your direction. You know, He makes all things new. He's a God of not only now, but He's a God of yesterday. He's a God of today. He's a God of tomorrow as well. He knows where He wants us to be, provided we are willing to allow God to speak into our lives. We can all learn from the past. We can have past experiences. And we may have learned by making decisions where we've gone wrong. And now, if we are in a place where we are in a rut, if we are stuck, then we got to do something. We don't want to stay stuck. You got to take some time, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, why am I stuck? Where do I need to change? We always ask that question, even, you know, Jenny and I, we always ask that question. When something happens in our lives, say, Lord, what are you teaching us? What is it that we need to change? It's not about others, it's about us. Lord, what do I need to change in my life? What is it, where is it that we have stepped out of your will and plan and purpose? Where has the enemy given a foothold? Where has he been given a foothold to come and disrupt us? And so we always got to search and find out, God, where is it? And the Holy Spirit reveals it, and then we're able to deal with it. And it's often about us, not about somebody else. For us, some of us, it could be, the change could be just prioritizing God's purpose before ours, or pursuing excellence in everything that we do for God. It could be a simple thing. It could be putting weight behind the matters that are pursuant to God, that God is concerned over. Put weight behind that. I just believe that when we are a disciple of Jesus, we grow. A disciple always grows. A disciple of Jesus always matures. And there's change that always happens. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13. Paul here talks about the fivefold gifts or ministry gifts. And the fivefold ministry gifts are what? Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists are the fivefold ministry gifts. And Paul very clearly writes that, and he says, these gifts are for the service of people, to equip people. That's why God's gifted us. God's put these things in the house. It's for the benefit of the body of Jesus Christ. That's why I say it's not to pump ourselves up. It's for the benefit of the body of Jesus Christ. And it's to bring people into the unity in faith in Jesus. It's to bring people together to a place of strength and maturity. Can you see why the fivefold ministry gifts are given to the body of Jesus Christ? It's for a purpose. It's to bring people into maturity until Christ is fully formed in us. That's why we have the gifts of the Spirit in us. It's not just for us. It's for the benefit of everyone. Everybody here, everybody in this scenario is making progress because their identity is in Jesus Christ. When your identity is in Jesus Christ, everybody shares things together, participates, and causes growth in the house of God because our identity is identical with Jesus. We have a corporate identity with Jesus. So let's see how we can apply this practically in our lives. If we are struggling with a situation, we are not advancing, we are kind of stuck. Let's look at some things that we can change. Because we are not application, a word becomes just a word. So for some, it could be this. It could be doing a course of studies to make a change. It could be disconnecting from something. Maybe you've been in something that is not right for you. Disconnecting from something or disconnecting from someone as well. Maybe a wrong relationship. Disconnecting from someone where you feel you're stuck. You're not moving on. It could be joining something that's new. Something that's vibrant. Something that has life. It could be looking at some new avenue of work. You might be, you know, kind of locked in your work and think, wow, I just need a change. I just need to explore something else. It's taking a step of faith. It could be taking a risk at doing something out of the ordinary in our lives. It could be broadening our circle of friends. It could be going out and looking for people, looking for friendships, building those bridges. It could be seeking someone to be accountable to. It could be that brings that change in our lives for momentum, for advancement. It could be looking at a skill that we need to advance in. Somebody there who can help us with our skill because they are better at it. The question is this. We have got to ask ourselves, what can I do to change? What should I do to change? Isaiah 54 says this, enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, you need bigger tents. If you've been living in a one-man show, in a one-man tent, you need a bigger tent because God has bigger things for you. Don't get satisfied with being in a one-man tent. God says expand to the right, to the left, lengthen your cords. What does that talk about? Advancement. Is God in the business of advancement? Yes, He is. And He says, lengthen your cords. Put your stakes down. I'm going to bring about change. God is always looking to enlarge us on the inside. See, when a vessel, you can pour more into a vessel that's bigger. Bigger the vessel, the more you can pour into it. And I believe God is looking for us to enlarge, to enlarge us on the inside, to increase our capacity to have more of Him, to experience more of Him. God wants us to have large hearts. Why? So we can welcome more people. We can welcome more people in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus sent out the disciples, you know what He gave them? authority and power. Jesus gives us the same. And I want to end with this scripture. And Paul says this in Philippians 3, 12 to 14 in the Message. He says, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it. But I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. And he says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. I read that and I thought, wow, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he still says, I don't count myself an expert. What a humble man. What a humble man. He says, I don't count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal. I'm not looking at my expertise, but I have a goal in my mind where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. And I declare this morning that we will not look at our expertise, but our goal will be our focus, who is Jesus Christ. And that God is always beckoning us on. We sang that song, God's love is chasing me down. God's power is beckoning us. God's power is moving us. God's love is moving us. God's presence is moving us. We don't stay stagnant in the presence of God. We are in a movement. We are in an organism that grows and that matures and that multiplies. And Paul says here, I'm off running. He says, I'm not going to stay here. I'm off running and I'm not turning back. Hallelujah. I just declare this morning that we will be a church that advances, that in our lives we will advance, that in our areas or spheres of influence we will advance, that whatever God has for us by taking that step of faith, the next step will come, the next goal will come, the next thing that God wants us will come, but it takes a step of faith to get into the things of God. Let's stand this morning. And as we are standing in God's presence today, I just want us to recollect, reflect, and ask yourself this question, God, am I stuck? God, am I stuck? You will know if you're stuck or not. God, am I stuck? God, do I need to change something? I just pray that you're not happy being stuck. God has more for you. But the choice is up to us. We've got to determine today and say, God, I know I'm stuck, but I'm not staying stuck in one place. I'm going to get out of my situation. And that needs an act of faith. And right now, this morning, if you need prayer, and if you're stuck and you say, yeah, I think that's me. I feel I'm stuck. I'm not getting anywhere. My life is kind of boring. Nothing's exciting. Then you're stuck. I just wanted to lift your hand up this morning as an act of faith and say, God, I acknowledge I'm stuck. And I want something to change today. And if that's you there, sitting there, standing up, I see many hands raised this morning. And we're going to pray by faith right now. That God will move you out of that situation of being stuck to a place of advancement. And God, in the name of Jesus, you see the hands that have been raised up this morning. And I come against that situation that's holding you back. And I cut you loose from the circumstances that are tying you down to the things that are not of the Spirit of God. Today I loose you from it in the name of Jesus. I release you from those things. And I declare a spirit of advancement right now into your lives. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, you come out of your situation. You come out of the pit. You come out of the rut. And you say no to the things of the enemy. You eyeball him in the face right now. And you say, enemy, you're not keeping me stuck anymore. I'm getting unstuck now. I'm moving out now. I'm stepping out now. Because I know greater is He that is in me. And the authority of the power of Jesus is in me. And who are you to keep me stuck? You are defeated already. And I believe sometimes you've got to speak that out loud. You've got to tell the devil, you are defeated in my life. You are defeated in my life. I'm coming out of my situation. And sometimes you've got to speak it aloud because your ears need to hear what you're saying. Because when your ears hear what you're saying, faith comes. Sometimes I just think that some of you need to speak it out. You need to speak it out. I'm getting out. Come on now. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm getting unstuck. In the name of Jesus. I'm moving forward. I'm advancing in the things of the kingdom. I'm progressing. Because God is for me. And if God is for me, nobody can be against me. I'm getting out. I'm progressing. I'm taking a hold that which God has given me. And by faith, I will run my race, not looking to the left or the right, but looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can shout a hallelujah. Because I've come unstuck right now. Thank you, Jesus. God, I praise you, God, for a people who have momentum, who have advancement, who are taking ground, who are taking territory, who are crossing the River Jordan. Hallelujah. Who are crossing over their problems, crossing over their situations. Thank you, God, who have a spirit that conquers, who has a warrior spirit in them. Thank you, oh God. We have a warrior spirit in us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, barabashidabariyalaba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We are an army marching on. We are an army marching on. Thank you, Jesus. For Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Jesus. God, I just praise you right now, and I thank you for the victory. God, I pray that this week we will see the changes. We will see the victories. We will see how the Canaan, the promised land, coming right before us. We will see it because we have declared it. We have done something about getting unstuck today. Thank you, Lord, for those open doors. Doors opening, opportunities opening in the name of Jesus. Opportunities opening in the name of Jesus. Progression comes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Relationships come in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Finances are released into our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I praise you this morning. I praise you this morning. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's go out with a song of praise unto our God.
Come on, let's clap our hands to Jesus this morning, church.